This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Name of the Most
High. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you all with the greetings of Islam and say to every single one of you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity, and I thank you for attending tonight's lesson, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who learn and benefit from these lessons, and for us not only to learn but act upon what we learn, because the best of you are those that learn and act upon what they learn. And we've been talking about the biography of the greatest man to ever tread this earth, and that's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the greatest man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created, the greatest man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made stand on the face of this earth, a man that passed away 1400 years ago, but alhamdulillah his legacy continues to live and will continue to live until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. O Muhammad, we made your remembrance to be high. So not only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is being mentioned in the adhan, 5 daily adhan, millions of mosques, millions of people around the world call the adhan and say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ, followed by أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, which means that the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been elevated high. But remembering the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we came together tonight because we want to remember the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, remembering the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remembering the story and the life story of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, remembering the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we are different than everyone else, because this is a biography, this is a story that we want to implement in our lives. We want to walk out of this masjid inshallah, and every single one of us thinks like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wants to become like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, acts like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wants to live for what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived for, wants to die for what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam died for, and wants to be resurrected with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hereafter. But a big but here, in order for you to live like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to die on what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had died on, and for you to be resurrected with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the hereafter, you need to sacrifice, not like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, because the reality is you will never ever sacrifice like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, but at least sacrifice something. It's all about the struggle, it's all about the sacrifice that we sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the struggle that we struggle for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla. And we've been talking about the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've been covering that point where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come out in the public and start calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open. After what? After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to call out in the open, but leave it in the closed. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come out in the open. فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Oh Muhammad, come out in the open and start calling people to the deen of Allah. Start inviting people to the deen of Allah. Before, keep it in secret. Keep it discreetly. But now it's time for you to go out in the open and start calling to Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And he started to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open. What happened? Yes, more people embraced Islam, and more people were afraid to enter Islam, and more people started to attack Islam and attack Muslims. And we spoke about how the attacks escalated on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It started verbally and then it became physical. And it wasn't only the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who were attacked. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attacked. And tonight's lesson is going to focus on the attacks that came on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That doesn't mean that the rest of the Sahaba weren't attacked. We mentioned some of them lost their lives. Some of them lost their sight. Some of them were punished and persecuted, and some of them were harmed. And they went through a painful harm. They went through agony of pain.
But tonight I want you just to reflect upon the greatest man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The greatest man to ever walk on the face of this earth, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow anyone to enter the paradise before him. No one is allowed to enter the Jannah before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I want you to listen and hear what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through from all the different types of physical abuse, verbal abuse, attacks on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hitting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, beating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, humiliating the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, even though he'll never ever be humiliated because he's been honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tonight's lesson will be more focused on what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as an individual went through. But keep something in mind, before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out with a call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open, he was known to the people of Quraysh as what? As-Sadiq, Al-Amin, the honest, trustworthy, the most respected. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the most respected man amongst the people of Quraysh. That very moment he came out and started to call to Allah and said, abandon the belief and abandon the worship of the idols that you and your forefathers have been worshipping. That moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to speak against their beliefs and speak against their worship and their what they believe in the idols and believe in statues. That was the moment they started to turn against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and from being the most honest, the most trustworthy, the most respectful, into becoming the most dishonest, the most untrustworthy, and the most disrespectful. SubhanAllah, look at the change. Just because he said, worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encountered and experienced torture and persecution, disrespect, not only from strangers, but people from his own tribe and his own uncle, people from his own lineage, people from his own family. And at the forefront of all this was Abu Lahab, who's the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he will continue to oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the open, and he will continue to speak ill of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was neighbors with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam because they were tribal, which means most of the tribe will be living next to each other. And Abu Lahab and his wife Jamila, or Ummu Jamil, sorry, Arwa bint Harb. So Abu Lahab's wife, her name is Ummu Jamil Arwa bint Harb bin Umayyah. And she used to be the sister of Abu Sufyan. She was the wife of Abu Lahab, and she was very aggressive towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the extent that Abu Lahab will walk around behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wherever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will go to, especially when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to confront, or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam used to approach strangers. Abu Lahab will be standing behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying to the strangers, don't listen to him, he's a liar and he's my nephew. Don't listen to him, he's a liar and he is my nephew. And you know what? You put yourself in that position where someone's talking to you, and then his aunt, uncle will say to you, you know what, don't listen to him, he's a liar. Usually, family members don't like to put down their own family members. It's very hard. I know now it's becoming normal, which is unfortunate to say, but by default and naturally, family members don't like to humiliate or dishonor family members in front of other people, because dishonoring your own family member is dishonoring yourself. Disrespecting a family member in the public is disrespecting yourself. But then you've got Abu Lahab, who's the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the public, in front of strangers, saying he's my nephew, don't listen to him. Which straight away discredits the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in front of others, in their perception, in their view. And obviously no one can discredit the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why I'm very picky in the words that I use. No one can humiliate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or dishonor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or discredit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the perception, to discredit the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam in front of strangers. And Abu Lahab had two sons, Utbah and Utaybah. The uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Abu Lahab had two sons, Utbah and Utaybah, which means they were the first cousins of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They were married to the two daughters of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Ruqayyah and Kulthum. So the two sons of Abu Lahab were married to the two daughters, Ruqayyah and Kulthum, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They were very close. Out of spitefulness and hitting back at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Abu Lahab commanded his sons to mistreat the daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and then later on divorce them. Look, you know, it's harming the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Look who's suffering now. Ruqayyah and Umm Kulthum. The daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam are becoming the victims too because of their father, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They are suffering. So Utbah and Utaybah start to harm and mistreat their wives, who are the daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and then divorce them both. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we mentioned before, he was married to Khadija at that time. He had four girls and two boys. The two boys that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had were Al-Qasim, the older one, and then Abdullah, the second one. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was nicknamed as Abu Al-Qasim. Al-Qasim and Abdullah passed away before they had even reached the age of puberty. Look at the struggle, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. It wasn't easy. You know, we sit down and talk about, I love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, I love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And we've got that passion. You know that passion, that true love? But you know what? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not Muhammad just because his name is Muhammad and because he just received the revelation from Allah. I want you just to contemplate on the hardships that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. So before the age of puberty, Al-Qasim and Abdullah passed away. Now this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. Al-Qasim and Abdullah, and usually men at that time, they want to have girls and they want to have boys. You would love to have sons and daughters. And they used to rely a lot more on their sons than their daughters, because they're the ones that are considered to be your backbone. The ones that will help and assist. So before the age of puberty, Al-Qasim passed away, and then Abdullah passed away. So what did the Arabs start to say about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? At the forefront of them, Abu Lahab, they start to make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling him Abatar, Abatar, cut off, cut off. Muhammad is Abatar. Look, he had two boys, both of them passed away. He's got no legacy to leave. Oh, there's no legacy to live after him. This man doesn't even have boys. He's only got girls. That does not undermine. On the contrary, as Muslims, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored having daughters and had honored having boys. But that's the perception the Arabs had back then. So they start to look down at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make mockery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by calling him an abtar, a cut off man. A man that doesn't have an offspring anymore. No one's going to leave his legacy after him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a surah in the Quran al-Kareem, surah Al-Kawthar. Inna a'tainaka Al-Kawthar. Indeed, O Muhammad, we had given you the river of Al-Kawthar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the last verse, Inna shani'aka huwa Al-Abtar. The one that's making mockery of you, O Muhammad, he's the cut off. Cut off from what? He's cut off from Allah's mercy. He's cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. He's cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance. He's going to be cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's paradise. Inna shani'aka, the one that's making mockery of you. The one that's talking you down. The one that's despising you. Starting from your uncle Abu Lahab onwards. The Arabs were making mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'll be walking and pointing at him, saying, look at the abtar. Look at the cut off man. Nobody. Look at the reject. Look at this person. That's how they used to speak to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You think we get it hard? You think we face it hard? You think we experience it hard? Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he went through. So that's another test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars have their own wisdom, their own analogy and their and understanding, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away the sons of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, or they took Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the sons of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before they had even reached the age of puberty? And some of the assessment, some of the conclusion is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the sons of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before them reaching the age of puberty, so no one will point the fingers at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or no one will make a claim that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prophecy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam continued after him within his own sons. No one, and there's no claim to be made that the prophecy and the messengerhood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was imparted from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his sons. Looks what people ever exaggerate with the grandchildren of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People ever exaggerate with Al-Hasan Hussein and they're the grandchildren of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, what would people say if the sons of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were still alive? The Republic even said, oh, these are the prophets after Muhammad. This is again, this is not what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This is a conclusion. This is a conclusion that the scholars, some of the scholars said, one of the wisdoms why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the sons of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is because of that. Not necessarily to be, but a just in conclusion, a personal reasoning. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continue to encounter disrespect, humiliation, dishonor, attacks, physical and verbal attacks on him, from his own people, from his own family. Ummu Jamil, the mother of Jamil, who's the wife of Abu Lahab, and she used to be the neighbor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she'll call the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam names. And what's the name of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam? It's Muhammad. Muhammad means praiseworthy. Praised. He is praised. Hamida. Praised. Muhammad, a praised man. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ She used to call him مُذَمَّم. مُذَمَّم. Dishonored. Not worthy to be praised. That's what she used to call the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent that once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other sahaba. And Ummu Jamil, she carries a cup of rocks coming to cast them at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she saw Abu Bakr from far, next to the Kaaba. So she came to Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is next to him, right next to him. And she comes to Abu Bakr and the rest of the Sahaba were surrounding the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And then she turns to Abu Bakr and says to him, where is your friend Mudammam? And the Prophet is right there. Abu Bakr was shocked, like he's right here. But there was something there, she couldn't see him. And she continued to be persistent, asking Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where is Mudammam? Where is Mudammam? Where is this man? Is it true that his Lord had revealed a verse against me and my husband? And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Tabbat yada Abi Lahab bin Watab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoken against Abu Lahab and his wife, Jamil. So when she left, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, a messenger of Allah, can you see her? So the Prophet said, yeah, I could see her right in front of me. But what did she ask about you if she are right there? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she did not see me because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinded her. She couldn't see me. I was just right there. And because her and her husband, Abu Lahab and his wife, Jamil, because of their aggression towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and continuing to escalate their attacks on the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a surah. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, damn Abu Lahab. And why he had possessors, or why he had possessed for him and his entire family. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, وَامْرَأَتُوا حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ فِي جِيدِيَا حَبْلٌ مَّسَدٍ. And his wife is carrying timber, because she was carrying timber to come and attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to try and hit back at the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, around her neck, erupt from fire in the hellfire. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cast her in the hellfire. There's something amazing about this surah. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is admonishing. Allah is admonishing Abu Lahab and his wife. Abu Lahab could have turned around and said, you know what, I'm going to prove Allah wrong and Muhammad wrong, I'm going to become a Muslim. What are you going to do with this surah? Abu Lahab could have probably turned around and said, you know what, Muhammad's Lord says I'm in a hellfire, I'm going to become Muslim. And Muhammad says if he become Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to cast you in the hellfire. But it shows you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocked him from that either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocked him from that either. That's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed and determined that he's in the hellfire, he's going to be in the hellfire. Pulled off something and said, you know what? You know what? I'm going to prove Muhammad and his Lord are wrong and therefore I'm going to become Muslim. But it didn't happen because Allah blocked him. Abu Lahab was one of the worst of people towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surrounded by a neighborhood of his own family, of his own clan. Yes, he had Quraysh and then he had the smaller clans, and they used to surround themselves. They used to live amongst each other. And they used to be so awful towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so bad towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll cast their rubbish on the doorstep of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'll abuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon his entrance and exit from his home. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will turn around and say, "Ya bani Abd Manaf, ayu jawarin hadh?" Or the children of Abd Manaf, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes from the lineage of Abd Manaf. He'll turn around to his own tribe, to his own neighbors, to his own uncles, to his own kins and cousins. Oh, Abd Manaf, what kind of a neighborhood is this? What kind of a treatment to your neighbor is this? You disagree with me, okay. You don't like me, okay. But what's this? Rubbish on my doorstep? Abuse upon my entrance and exit? Subhanallah, look what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. From his own kind, from his own tribe, from his own people. And you know what? When you really look at it, there's hikmah there. There's hikmah. What hikmah, what wisdom is there? If the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forthcoming and was at the forefront of embracing Islam and accepting Islam, people would have turned around and said, look, Muhammad is trying to empower his own tribe. Muhammad is trying to promote his own tribe. Muhammad has a vested interest in promoting his own tribe. But when you look at it and say his own tribe is turning against him, it doesn't look like that this man has any vested interest. It's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please Allah azza wa jal. Ya bani Abd Manaf, ayu jawarin hadha? Or the children of Abd Manaf, my cousins, my uncles, what kind of a neighborhood is this? Is that how you treat your own people? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was short and skinny. So skinny, they had thin chins. Thin chins. That the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to laugh at his thin chins. When he was in Medina and he climbed, because he was skinny, he climbed a palm tree. They were looking at his thin chins, how thin they were. They were laughing. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went past and he saw the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum surrounding a palm tree, on the top of that palm tree, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he saw the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum laughing and pointing at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, what are you laughing at? They said, we are laughing at how thin the shins of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud are. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't laugh at his thin shins. Don't laugh at his thin shins. By Allah, they are a lot more heavier to Allah than the mountain of Uhud. This is a man that put his heart and soul in defending Islam. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those first an early comers to Islam. He stood by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was skinny, he was short, and he did not have much of a strength in Quraysh. He didn't come from a powerful or a strong tribe like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Bakr, like Uthman bin Affan. They came from a strong tribe, from a big tribe. Other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum came from a smaller tribe. And these are tribals that look at it, you know what? He's on his own, I'm going to attack him. But this guy's got about 20, 30 people with him. I'll think twice about it. He's got 100 behind him, I think four times about it. That's how they used to think. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud relates to us and he says that once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying next to the Kaaba. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opened these to go next to the Kaaba and pray. A prayer which is different to their prayer. They've never prayed in that manner. Their prayer was a different prayer. They used to pray to the idols. They'll make this idol with their own hands and then they start prostrating it. And then when they get angry, they crack it and break it. That's how they used to do it. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to pray to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala next to the Kaaba. A prayer that they've never encountered before. They've never seen before. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, while the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was praying next to the Kaaba, the people of Quraysh, the chiefs, the leaders of Quraysh. So each tribe had a leader and they used to get together at a place next to the Kaaba, near the Kaaba. So they used to get together what they used to call a club, a nadi, a club, which means a joint, a get together place. They used to get together at this club or they used to get together at this place next to the Kaaba where they see the Kaaba from far. And the leaders of Quraysh were the only ones that used to sit in that club or in that joint or in that gathering. So while the leaders of Quraysh or the chiefs of Quraysh were sitting in that joint, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab were the two most aggressive Arabs against the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of them is the uncle of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other one's related to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from far. Abu Jahl was amongst the most respected leaders of Quraysh. His original name is Abu al-Hakam, the man of wisdom. But then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you've got no wisdom at all. You're a man of ignorance, Abu Jahl. And his original name is Amr. Abu Jahl was so aggressive towards the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he saw the Prophet Muhammad Alayhi Salatu Wasallam praying next to the Kaaba. So he started to ignite the people surrounding him. And he said to them, which one has the guts? Which one of you dares to get up and pick up guts of a camel that's just been recently slaughtered and chuck it on Muhammad while he's praying? Like, you know, you can't ask for anything more dishonorable than this. A man is praying in front of the Kaaba. Leave him alone. But they just wanted to despise the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, humiliate the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam by picking up guts of a slaughtered camel and casting it and throwing it on the back of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, one of the leaders and chiefs of Quraysh, he said, I have the guts. I dare to do so. So he grabbed the guts of a camel, and while the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is prostrating, he cast it on the back of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with all the dirt and the blood and the guts tipping on the back of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished, his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cleaning the guts and the dirt of the back of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to the people, the leaders and the chiefs of Quraysh, and he made dua against them in front of the Kaaba. And the people of Quraysh, as much as they might disagree with someone, they knew that the Kaaba had something. And there's a track record of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around and he started to point at each one of them. O Allah, destroy Abu Jahl. O Allah, destroy Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. O Allah, destroy Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah. O Allah, destroy Al-Walid ibn Utbah. O Allah, destroy Umayyah ibn Khalaf. O Allah, destroy Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. 7 that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made mention. The Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I still remember the names. 7 of them that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made mention. When the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made that dua and he pointed at each one of them, said, Ya Allah, O Allah, ask you that you destroy him and him and him and him and him and him and him. 7 of them, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had made mention of their name. They looked at the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and became petrified. They got scared from the dua of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because they know and they knew of the nobility of the Kaaba. And they know that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a serious man. So they turned to the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam and they told him, calm down, Abu al-Qasim. Relax, cool, Abu al-Qasim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, by Allah, 7 of them were killed in the Battle of Badr. Each one of them, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had pointed out, they were all killed in the Battle of Badr. Subhanallah. But you could imagine what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through. Umayyah ibn Khalaf used to make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. and he used to blink his eye, wink his eye. You know when someone is talking and you wink and you blink, it's like, you know, making mockery of someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a surah in the Quran Kareem, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Umayyah ibn Khalaf used to wink his eye and he used to make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in front of other people, undermining the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that surah in the Quran Kareem, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, to the end of the surah, Surah Al-Humuzah. Al-Akhnas ibn Shariq is another man from the people of Quraysh. They used to come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and abuse the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam and fabricate lies. They used to fabricate lies, just fabricate. And not only fabricate, they used to even make an oath. They swear by Allah, Muhammad did that. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do that. That's not true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an incident. وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ عُتُلٍ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about another man that used to abuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and swear. He used to swear by Allah to his people, Muhammad is this, by Allah Muhammad is this, by Allah Muhammad is that. And he knows it's all lies. And the Arabs, especially the people of Quraysh, as vile as they might be at that time, but there was sanctity. They had that respect for the Kaaba. They had that respect not to make an oath that's not right or inaccurate oath or a false oath. They knew that there are consequences that will come after him. They were conscious of those things. But against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll drop everything. Another man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and embraced Islam. After he had embraced Islam, his friend found out from the people of Quraysh. When his friend found out, he said, by Allah, I will never talk to you. I will never sit down with you. I will never engage with you. I will disown you if you continue to be a Muslim. And if you want me to be your friend again, you have to go and denounce Islam and spit in the face of Muhammad. So this is a man who became a Muslim after he heard what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard. But after the pressure that he got from his friend, which is that peer pressure that we get sometimes, our kids get, oh, do this, do that. And then subhanAllah, even though you know it's wrong, but you end up doing it and you know it's wrong. This is a man who had embraced Islam, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu Muhammad rasulullah. His friend finds out, he puts pressure on him and he says to him, by Allah, I will never talk to you. I will never sit down with you. I will never engage with you until you denounce Islam and go and spit in the face of Muhammad. And he did. He embraced Islam. And after he embraced Islam, he was put under a lot of pressure, but regardless, still unacceptable. And he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spat in the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Spat in the face of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam and denounced Islam. Amongst the incidents that took place is while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was praying, one of the chiefs of the people of Quraysh took a rope and choked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He choked him so hard that the Prophet Muhammad's face became so red, about to die. And the one that came in the rescue of the Prophet Muhammad was Abu Bakr. And he pushed him away from the Prophet Muhammad and said, the only reason that you have something against this man is because he told you worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. He wants to worship Allah. You want to worship those idols that you make with your own hands? Worship. Your dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you've got something against this man because he said, I worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Jahl, as I mentioned, he used to be from one of the most aggressive chiefs of the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he used to harm the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. And he was a neighbor of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He wasn't far away from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He had a major issue with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, not because he doesn't believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is a prophet and messenger. He even said it amongst his friends that I do believe that Muhammad is a prophet and messenger. But why should he get the revelation? It's not me. Subhanallah. Jealousy. Grudge. Mindset. And Abu Jahl will continue to insult the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and try and prevent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from entering and going near the Kaaba. He was that aggressive towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam confronted Abu Jahl. So Abu Jahl turned around to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and said to him, "Oh Muhammad, you're threatening me? You are threatening me?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in the Quran al-Kareem, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَ. Let him bring whoever he wants to bring. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam threatened him. He told him, confronted him. So Abu Jahl, he knew he had the backbone, he had the support, people behind him. So he turned around and said, "Oh Muhammad, you threatened me? Did you figure who I am? Did you figure who's behind me, what I can get?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَ. Let him bring whoever he wants to bring. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَ. We'll bring our own. الزَّبَانِيَ are the gatekeepers of the hellfire, the angels. You bring your people, we'll bring the angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did bring the angels. In the Battle of Badr, he had 313 companions fighting against 1,000 people from the people of Quraysh. And at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam victory. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, we send down 1,000 angels. You want to bring whoever you want to bring whoever you want to bring. We'll bring our own. You bring your army, we've got an army. But at the end of the day, our army will crush yours because ours is from the Zabaniyah, from the angels. But subhanallah, when you really think about it, like, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you know, we could be talking about so many different types of torture the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through. To the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to walk back home, his own neighbors, and they were his own cousins, his own kings, they'll be standing on their rooftops and throwing dirt on the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just to despise the Prophet alayhi wasallam, just to humiliate the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, during the day, is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On his way back home, he doesn't walk back home peacefully. His own kings will be casting dust on the hair of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a sign of humiliation. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will arrive home, his own daughters will come around him and clean the dirt of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and cry. But you know what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will turn around and say? Don't cry. Don't be upset. Don't be unhappy. Allah will give your father victory. Don't worry. It's only a matter of time. Allah will support your father. Allah will fulfill his promise to your father. Allah will give your father victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did fulfill his promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did support the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another incident the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also went through is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was near the Kaaba worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do that deliberately. So a group of the people of Quraysh carried rocks and sand to come and cast it on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they stood right in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam looking for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But they couldn't see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So the companion who's narrating the event and narrating the story asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam later on, "These people were standing right in front of you looking for you to cast rocks at you and to cast dust on you. And they were standing right in front of you, but they didn't see you." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes." And amongst those people who was trying to confront the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Jahl. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, they were right in front of me, but the angels blocked their sight with their wings. And by Allah, if they took one more step, they would have destroyed them. If they took one more step, the angels were really there. The angels were there, ready to attack. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented them from coming near the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now my brothers and my sisters, at the end of the day, this is part of the responsibility. This is part of the responsibility. You're a prophet and messenger calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to encounter hardship. But this does not only apply to the prophets and messengers, anyone that calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to go through hardships. Then expect Allah to look like a Muslim, to act like a Muslim, to profess Islam, and to come out as a Muslim and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Islam and expect things just to go smoothly. It's not a smooth sailing. It doesn't work that way. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't even get it smooth. You're not going to get it smooth. What we need to learn and understand that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through a lot. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced hardships. And he's the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. So when you experience hardship next, when you experience a challenge or a difficulty in your life, just reflect upon the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who are you compared to the Prophet alayhi wasallam? And he went through it. Islam is about offering a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sacrifice that you need to offer to Allah azza wa jal is for you to be persistent when you encounter hardship, just because you're a Muslim. To be strong when you encounter a challenge, just because you're a Muslim. To be perseverant when you face hardships, just because you're a Muslim. That's what Allah wants to see. But that very moment someone looks at you or gives you a dirty, or you're a Muslim, go back where you came from, you're a terrorist, you're this, you're that, and straight away people buckle and shy away from being a Muslim. No, I'll never shy away from being a Muslim. On the contrary, that empowers me. That empowers me to take pride in my religion and to stay strong in my religion. Alhamdulillah, we've got nothing to hide. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had nothing to hide. That's why he used to pray in the Kaaba or near the Kaaba in front of the people of Quraysh. Let them come and hear about Islam. They've got a misunderstanding of Islam. Come and hear about Islam. But subhanAllah, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hardships of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continue to encounter hardships. What we spoke about today, we just scratched the surface. It's just the tip of the iceberg of what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really went through. More inshallah that we'll be talking about next week as we talk about other events that took place during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will continue to face hardships from his own people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon whether they listen and hear. Subhanakallah muhamdik nashadu an la ilaha ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page, and if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.